This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Thank you, Dave, for the introduction there, and it's great to know that you're on board there. Anyway, I have to say that opinions expressed here in the Christian War Room are not necessarily the opinions of the management of BPN Radio, even Dale Gentry, as he was just introducing me. And today, you all can always tell whenever I say this, whenever I've got this this little phrase, there's going to be some hot stuff, okay? We're going to touch some hot potatoes today, and we're going to do this. So this is a Christian War Room. And I want to cover a couple of subjects, and I had to think about this on my way to work today. We had snow here in England, so I'm not sure when this is broadcast, so at the moment it's March, and it might be broadcast in the middle of summer, so you might think, oh dear, you know, snow in June, July, it's a problem. But anyway, there was traffic congestion to the brim. And I had to sit in the car, not being able to do much. You are just sort of caught up in your little cage, in your little iron cage. And the engine is running, you know, the heat is coming out. You're reasonably comfortable, but you have to think. You've got time to think about stuff because there's not much else you can do. And I had to think about the state of the church, the state of the church. And I had to think about, I was watching some, I had my phone on me, and there were some YouTube videos running, and it looked at a lot of very strange pastors, and at a lot of situations where pastors were actually falling away from grace. And again, you know, I had to ask myself, what is going on here? Why do you have these great, iconic ministries, you know, like all these telepastors who were building empires, you know, gobbling up, scooping up millions in donations, and they all seem to be slightly going off the wall, going crazy. And the big question is, there's a big question, are these wolves in sheep clothing? You know, are they, you know, set up by the enemy to try and fleece a flock and, you know, move the whole emphasis away from what is really important, which is, you know, let me just put it this way. I think the purpose of the church is, it is not single-person ministry, but my belief is that each and every one who is listening right now, each and every one who is being called into the kingdom of God, each and every one who is called, who is walking on the narrow way, each and every one who has come to a point of salvation in their lives and to a point of repentance is called to work in the ministry. Yeah. And let me just put this. I mean, first of all, we've got universal priesthood. Yeah. We all have got direct access to God through Jesus Christ. We all, you know, can pray about things. We all can do tremendous things for the kingdom of God. And we all have got a calling upon our lives. And let me just sort of expand it a little bit. When I saw sort of the name and I see the ministry behind it, it makes my stomach churn. Because the ministry I'm working in is not the Michael ministry. I'm a nobody. I don't count. I'm just a lecturer. I'm not ordained. I'm not a bishop, apostle, prophet, whatever it may be. I may have some gifting in some areas. And I recognize that, but I'm nothing special. I'm nothing special whatsoever. And I would never come along and say, oh, this is a Michael ministry. Now, if there's a ministry, it's a ministry for Jesus Christ. It's a ministry for God. And it's a ministry for the kingdom of God. It's not the Michael ministry or nothing. I'm dispensable on one end, and yet I'm indispensable because God has got a plan for my life. And nobody else can fulfill this plan. Maybe some of the tasks I'm supposed to be doing, if I refuse to do them, God will raise up somebody else to do them instead of me. I don't know, you know. But God has got a plan for me, and nobody else can walk in my shoes to do this plan which God has prepared for me. And it's the same for you as well. God has got a plan for your life. And when we are talking about this whole concept of of the Christian war room, you need to understand that that there's a job for you to do. You know, until Jesus returns to take us home, there's a job for you to do on this earth. And this job is not done by the super-duper ministry around the corner. It is not done by an individual who just goes up and down the country and tries to heal everybody, or promises healing to everybody, you know, who's willing to hear it, and who promises financial success and earthly success and other stuff, providing you give enough money to the person, whoever that preacher is. This is not what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is where you've got a pastor who knows your name, you know, a shepherd who prays about your soul and about your well-being, who wants to make sure that you are okay. It is a community of Christians, you know, who are around you, who pray for you, and to take concern in the stuff you are doing in your everyday life. It is a task God has placed at your hands, and nobody else can do this task. And very often we all rely on the community around us to help us to do this task God has entrusted to us. So that is very, very, very important, and we need to understand this. You need to understand this, and you need to embrace this. Okay, so what is happening? We've got these super duper ministers. You know, they've got mega churches. Suddenly, they get caught up in lies. They get caught up in financial scandals. They get caught up with a little bit of hanky panky on the side. They get caught up in all sorts of stuff. And the big question is it temptation? Is it that they are just, bad root? Jesus says you can recognize them by their fruits. The fruits are really, really bad. So we shouldn't pay too much attention to them, but acknowledge that there's a big problem. Or is it that they are good people who have just fallen? Yeah? Righteous men can fall. That's what the Bible says 7 times. The righteous fall 7 times, but they will rise up again. Yeah? And it says the wicked, they will fall. Full stop. They will just fall. The righteous will fall 7 times and they will rise 7 times. The wicked will just fall. And it's sometimes very difficult to ascertain. Is it a brother in Christ who is, you know, gone a bit crazy, gone a bit loopy, and is given into temptation? Or is it a servant of the enemy who has infiltrated our ranks? Who, like Jesus said, you know, false prophets, they're all over. False teachers, false people, false brethren, the Bible warns us about them. In almost every book in the New Testament, we've got the warning against false doctrine and false Christians. Yeah? Almost every book in the Bible. There, I think it's about 2 or 3 books which don't talk about this or don't insinuate about this. It's not implied in any way in them. But most of the books in the New Testament I'm talking about, Old Testament as well, by the way, but most of the books in the New Testament from Matthew all the way to Revelation, we've got about false doctrine, warnings about false doctrine, false brethren, false apostles, false people, you know, infiltrating our ranks. And it's a big problem. Okay, I'm not suggesting for the Christian war room to go on a so-called witch hunt to identify who has the rotten fruit and who isn't. But what I'm telling you is that in German we have got a saying which means, I tell you first of all in German, nicht alles was glänzt ist Gold. Yeah? Not everything which is shiny is gold. Yeah? So it's just a saying we have to illustrate that not everything is what it looks like on the surface. And we need to sort of take this to heart. So if we find that there are deceivers, that there are false brethren, that there are people who lead us astray, who teach us false doctrine, who teach us sometimes blasphemous doctrines, and after Sir today, one of the great Pentecostal leaders, and he was almost teaching Mormon doctrine. Almost, yeah. It just was sort of a tiny, mini bit away from that, but not much, and it was just like a bunch of rubbish. Yeah, that's what I thought. What a wise guy and so on. The teaching was way back from the 80s, I think, when I was listening to that. But that guy is one of the top prime Pentecostal leaders and teachers in the group. And some of the stuff, when you compare it to the Bible, it just doesn't hold up. And that guy, in my opinion, is just a deceiver. And I'm not going to mention any names at this, and this is not what this talk is about, but it's important for us to recognize what is going on and not to be surprised when things are going desperately wrong, because the Bible has warned us about them. Jesus has told us in Matthew 24 everything about these false people who come in and give us a hard time. One thing I had to think about when I was talking, when I was sort of watching all this stuff, and that was that ex-witches, you know, who come from covens and things like that, and who came to Christ, and then sort of started telling what was going on. So they were sent by whoever is running the show for them to the churches with the aim to destroy them, to seduce the pastor, for example, to then, you know, make it to a public and to bring him down, and then to split the church and to cut the power of the church into half. So that was their aim. That was what they were sent in for. And then they came in and they got convicted by the Holy Spirit, and they realized that God is amongst them, and they came to Christ. And then they started, you know, telling the story, what was going on. And again, my friends, that is something, you know, for the Christian War Room. And I would encourage you to, you know, to pray for your church and to have some concept of this Christian War Room. To, and again, we are not doing witch hunts. That's not our job. But we are fishing for souls to come to Christ. And also, if there are things like that happening, a lot of it is spiritual. And if we can break this spiritual force that tries to penetrate our churches, that tries to destroy our community, again, it's a war, isn't it? We are right in the middle of a war. Then, you know, things will go well. I sort of remember, and I think I've mentioned this story before, I was talking to a pastor I met in America. And again, he was called in, and he was new there. And when he made his start, they told him, this is what the elders told him of the church, this is what we want to do. You know, we want to change this. We want to be modern, you know, throw the pews up, put the chairs in, put some carpet in, digital projector, do this, do that, and a lot of other things as well. And what was happening is that when he started implementing the changes he was tasked to do, some people got really upset, and it ended up that the church started splitting up, and it went so bad that he told me this story. He had a guy who was so agitated about the whole thing that he was screaming and threatening him and shouting at him, and whilst he was doing this, he could see that his hair was turning white in front of his eyes. Never seen anything like it. And, I mean, I don't know. I just heard the story from one side. I don't know what was going on, but to me it sounded like that the enemy had a great foothold and something was going berserk, you know, in the spiritual realm. And this guy was just sort of driven by these forces which were, you know, causing the split and causing the friction within the church. So again, I mean, one thing we need to be aware of all this stuff. We need to be aware of the ploys of the enemy, and that's all war room stuff, you know. And when there is discord, when there is hatred, when there is you know, something else going on, we need to pray right into the situation and try to unlever this situation. So okay, let's sum it up. What are the answers in this context and in this situation? I mean, one of the answers is, it's obviously is love. Yeah, love is so important, and we need to have the love of God in our lives. We need to let this love flow through our lives, and it's a bit like a lake. You know, if a lake has got only an inlet and no outlet, it tends to go stale, and the quality of the water is not that good. But if water flows in and out, the water quality tends to be a lot better. And that's something we need to do as well. We need to receive the love of God into our hearts, into our lives. And again, we are talking about war room activities, and it might be something to just reflect upon, you know, are we receiving the love of God in our lives? You know, are we getting it? Paul says in Corinthians, it's an interesting thing as well, and he says, look, you know, if I burn my body, do everything, you know, sacrifice everything to help the poor, give all the money, but I've got no love, doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. So I need love in my life, and that's maybe the very thing I should strive for, to have the love of God flowing not just into my life, but through my life. So it comes in and it comes out as well. So when you meet this old guy whose hair has turned white, and I don't know what was going on in this church, there might be a big portion of forgiveness necessary. And I'm sure I met the pastor. It was a man of God that was not out about it. And I'm sure that he would have the love and forgiveness, and he would put his arm around him and let bygones be bygones, you know, if he had the opportunity. And that's maybe something we should be we should be striving for in our lives. Okay, I'm going to go back to your ministry. And it's not the ministry, you know, your name and the ministry, but it's a vocation, it's a calling God has placed upon your life. And I want to encourage you, you know, to go and to build these war rooms, you know, whatever it is, maybe the prayer closet, maybe just this tiny space which you separate in your house. I give you one example. What I once did is my great passion has always been radio, Christian radio, and producing radio programs and producing, you know, working for radio. And for about 14 years, I've been working in radio. And I had to do a lot with audio, you know, audio editing, getting stuff ready, building transmitters, and lots of other stuff as well. And that was my passion. So what I did is I had this little room underneath the stairs, which most people use as a pantry. And I found out that this was the quietest room in the house. So it was very narrow as well. And I built myself a small studio in there, a small recording studio. It became something like a little bit of a prayer war room, maybe. You know, a little place where I could go in, I could close the door and just forget the world around me. I once had a guest in there to make a program, and it was so narrow that I realized they were very uncomfortable, and it was probably not the best idea for a studio with guests, but it was ideal for me because I could literally just shut myself out. Only problem was if somebody went up the stairs, it was a wooden stairs, the sound would just go through, and it was very, very difficult. But it was an interesting place, and it was sort of an interesting opportunity to do something. So I put some shelves in, put a little table in, put some equipment in there, and, you know, just started working it. And that might be something for you as well, where you, and I've seen, you know, a lot of men, they've got a shed in the garden. That's an English thing. So you've got like a little garden house made of wood. And you put all your favorite things in there as a bloke. Women, for some strange reason, don't tend to like it that much. But it seems to be sort of some sort of refugium, yeah, a refuge to go there and to have your space where you can go in. There's this concept in the Bible of something which is called Bethel. It comes from Jacob, where Jacob met God and he called this place Bethel. And it means the house of God. And the meeting place where you meet God. So it's not necessarily the church or whatever, but I think it's important. And in my life, I've got several of these Bethels in different geographical locations. And there's nothing particular about this. It's just a personal thing. And for me, it's a place where whenever I had a problem, you know, I went to this place and I spent some time just seeking God, and I went away from this place. And everything was fine. Everything was okay. And for somebody else, it might be just nothing. It might just be an ordinary place. It might be totally and utterly meaningless. Some other people might freak out, you know, particular places I go to. I don't know. Yeah? I don't know. But it's just a personal thing. And it may be in your life as well, it's important to sort of locate particular places where you can just take time out and seek God with all your heart, with all your soul and all your mind, and to have this Bethel. And this might be a war room, it might be a geographical location somewhere where you go to, it might be something else, yeah. Might be somewhere else in your house, in your garden shed, or somewhere in the forest. I don't know, but I just think it is very, very important that you find these places. Okay, what else do you need to do? You need to find out. I apologize for the coughing. I'm still suffering from the back end of the flu, but it's getting better every day. So the Lord be thanked for that. Find out what your calling is, and you need to really find out what your calling is. Make sure your calling, and Paul talks obviously about your salvation, but I would take it one step further, and it's what are you supposed to do here on earth? The very fact that you're still here and that God hasn't called you home means there's a job for you to be done. And again, you need to stay away from this concept that there's a clergy, and the clergy is running the show. Yeah. That is a traditional church concept. It comes back from Romanism, from Orthodox Christianity, that you've got like this elevated class of clergymen, and that's it. And when you read the Bible, when you just go right back to the source, it's not the case. Yeah. It's not the case. There are many gifts in the body of Christ, and they are prophets, they are teachers, they are helpers, they are healers, there are evangelists, you know, lots of gifts scattered all over the place. And I think we need to find out really what is our gifting and what is our calling. And again, don't be fooled into thinking if you were very good in a certain area before you came to Christ, that this is automatically the gifting God has allocated to you and you should work in that. So for example, if you work in finance before you come to Christ, doesn't mean that, you know, the church finance is your remit, because that's where you're coming from. God might have a completely different calling on your life. I give you one example. You know, just from my own experience, I was really bad in English. English was my worst subject in school. And bear in mind, I'm not an English speaker. I'm not a native English speaker. I'm German. I grew up in Germany, and I, you know, wasn't a really good German speaker either. But I spoke German fluently. Yeah, I understood the language, and I couldn't do English. I hated it. It was just the worst subject I had. Now, the unfortunate thing was in Germany that English was considered to be very important, and it was put on the same level as math and German. So if you failed either math, German, or English, because they were considered to be so important, you had to have a distinction. So if you failed any of these three subjects, you had to have a distinction in one of the other subjects, like math or German, or in two minor subjects, like history, geology, geography, any of these subjects. If you didn't have them, you had to repeat the year. Now, my my history was that I failed English in every year in college, in school, every year. And it was horrifying to me. I didn't like it. Yeah? I just was rubbish at it. And when I became a Christian, I was 16 years old. I left the first level school when I was 17. And I got the impression that God wanted me to do something in English. And to me, this was just the most horrifying thought, because I was the most incapable person to do English. And true enough, I'm now living, I've been living for how long? For 31 years within the English-speaking world, and I had to speak English as as my main language. And I only had like a few years to prepare myself, yeah, to do this, literally only about 4 years or so. And it happened. It happened. So sometimes God, this is saying that God doesn't call the qualified, but he qualifies the called. There's a calling on your life, and God will give you the gifting. And God will give you what you need to fulfill this calling. And some of the things can be very scary, and it's something you don't want to do. God might call you to another country, to another location, into a field where you feel very uncomfortable. I could never speak in public. I was rubbish at that. And I think the biggest crowd, I don't know how big it was. I think the biggest crowd was probably close to 1,000 people I had to speak in front of. And that was just the way God was leading me to. And it wasn't a Christian crowd, so you would have like all the favor on your side. It was a secular crowd. Yeah? So it's just something you need to make sure, you know, you've only got one life, and many secular people, godless people, they understand this very well. They've got one life, and therefore they need to to drink as much as they can, eat as much as they can, indulge in all sorts of stuff as much as they can, get as rich as they can, because they'll be dead. Now, from a Christian perspective, we've got one life, and we need to make sure that we do the works of God, that we do the works God has placed in front of us, and that we follow and walk in the ways of God. And I'm coming back to the war room story. You know, we are living in a situation where there is an enemy out there aiming to destroy us in our walk with God and aiming to confuse the calling God has placed on our lives and bringing tons of stuff into our life to destroy our calling. And this might include what we've seen with some of those great single man ministries, where guys were caught with prostitutes and all sorts of stuff. And some of the stories were just horrendous. It just beckons belief what was going on, yeah, with some of these guys. And even today when I hear some of, you know, what these big, massive ministries get up to, it just makes my skin crawl. But that's a reality we are dealing with. And again, there are two options. One of them is they are false Christians, they are false brethren. Plenty of warning in the Bible. The other option is they're just, you know, Christians who have fallen. And if they've fallen, they will rise up seven times and more. But again, we don't know. We just see one side of it. God sees all sides of it. From our point of view, we just can do only one thing, and that is number one is stick as close as we can to the Word of God and to what God has revealed to us through His Word. And then secondly, you know, seek the will of God over our lives. Seek out what God wants us to do and then follow and walk in the narrow way that is right in front of us. And this is part of the war room, you know, the war room thing we need to do. We need to be focused on the task. Like they were in the war, they needed to crack the code and get the information to the people who make the decisions. And they needed to do it fast. They needed to do it in time. And they needed to focus on it. And we have to do the same thing. We need to focus on our calling. We need to make sure that when temptation comes, that we overcome in the name of Christ. When temptation tries to get us down and to get us away from Christ, from God, we need to rise up and rebuke this temptation in our lives. Turn away from it and turn to God and take up the weapons God has given us to fight these temptations. Take up the shield of faith so that the fiery arrows of the enemy are not going to get to us. That is what we have to do with the war room, and then start fighting with the Word of God. And if we don't know the Word of God, yeah, people go into exile for lack of understanding. That's what we were looking at yesterday with Isaiah chapter 5, I think it was. People go into exile for lack of understanding. Don't suffer for lack of understanding, but have all the understanding you can get. Okay, I'm going to pray. Lord, I just want to pray, Father, for all these foreign preachers, especially those who are brothers in Christ. And I pray, Lord, that you will give restoration to them. Lord, I pray for all those preachers right now who are tempted in this time and on this day. I pray that you will give them the strength to overcome and not to fall, not to cave in, and not to be destroyed through sin. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will give them the strength, that you will give them the warning of the Holy Spirit, that you will give them the strength to overcome, Lord, and the determination to be a follower of you and to walk in your path rather than following the lust of their flesh. Pray for that in Jesus' name. Give us understanding about our calling and help us to focus and to walk in the ways you want us to walk. Pray for that, Lord. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
For the past half hour, you've been listening to the Christian War Room with host Michael Sean Bourne. For more information on how you can participate or find out more about the Christian War Room, simply go to ChristianWarRoom.com. That's ChristianWarRoom.com.